This morning's scripture comes to us from the Gospels of Luke and John. Hear now these words from Luke. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And from John, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This, my friends, is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One evening after dinner, a 9-year-old little girl was feverishly doing her homework at the kitchen table. Dad noticed she was very intent as she did it. He walked over and asked, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I'm working on a report. It's a report on the conditions of the world and how to bring world peace." And Dad said, "Well, isn't that quite a daunting task for one little girl?" And she said, "Oh, don't worry, Dad. I have two friends helping me." Hard to find peace these days. One of the unfortunate side effects, apparently, of cell phones is that employers are complaining that employees are spending too much time in the bathroom because the stalls have become basically private texting stations for many people. So get this. Actual truth, there is a new toilet seat that's been designed that is angled at 13 degrees. And it is designed by architects that after about 5 minutes, it becomes very uncomfortable and people get up. No more texting in the bathroom, folks, I'm sorry. It's getting hard to find peace and quiet in this world, isn't it? Well, we think about peace today. It's the conclusion of a 4-part sermon series about God's gifts to us at Christmas. And we've been noting this. You see the gifts we've been placing on the altar, the gifts of hope and joy and love we've looked at. And today, we consider this gift of peace. All these are gifts from God. They originate with God because God is love, God is joy, God is hope, and God is peace. So God, who came down at Christmas, sent these gifts to us. Today, as we think about peace, we refer to the Hebrew word, which you're perhaps familiar with, the word shalom. Shalom is the word we translate today for peace, but it means so much more than that. The word shalom incorporates many different ways of thinking about what God wants for us. It includes wholeness. It includes health. It includes tranquility. The word shalom means harmony, completeness. So when someone says to another, shalom, it is their wish that these things of God, harmony, completeness, tranquility, might be given to another. Interestingly, shalom is not just used when a person meets each other and begins a conversation, whereas we might say hello. Shalom is used at the beginning and at the end of a conversation, because that is the wish that the person has for the other, that these things might be given from God to them. In the Old Testament, one named Gideon was worshiping somewhere and decided to build an altar to God. And Gideon called the altar Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. So for all biblical history, we have this idea that God is peace and God gives peace. So it all starts with God. And then, of course, this gift comes to us in Bethlehem. And this peace, this shalom that comes to us is in the one named Jesus, whom we, of course, call the Prince of Peace. Remember, at the very beginning, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." So from the very beginning of Jesus' life, peace comes with him. Then during Jesus' ministry, his entire ministry is about peace. In the Beatitudes, at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where he somewhat sets forth what he is about to teach for the next 3 years, he says what? Blessed are the peacemakers. And his whole life, then, is about peace. When given opportunities to show revenge or to show anger, Jesus always responds with peace. And he says, I have told you all of this because I want you to have peace. Then at the end of his ministry, again a moment ago you heard read, hear it again, peace I leave with you. So when he leaves to go back to God, Jesus says, I leave my peace with you. And then he says this fascinating, wonderful line, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. When we do that, we have peace. So this Jesus gift, from the very beginning when the angel said peace on earth, to the very end when Jesus says peace I leave with you, this is the gift of God that God desires you to have. God wants you to have his peace, his shalom. Unfortunately, when this gift is given, we often don't accept it. So think of it this way. Christmas morning. Bunch of gifts under the tree, some with your name on it. You take the gift with your name on it, you open it. It's from someone else, perhaps in the room. You say, I hope you say, yes. All right, you open the gift, you acknowledge the gift, and then it is accomplished. But imagine at the end of all the gifts open, there's one left under the tree. It has your name on it. And you look at that gift and you think, nah, I'm not going to open that one. It's from someone right there, someone you know and care about. But you decide, nah, I don't think I'm going to open that gift. A few days go by, you take the tree down, the gift's still sitting there. I'm not going to open it. So you take that gift and you figure, what am I going to do with this? So you put it on the shelf in the closet. So it's sitting there and you just leave it there. You kind of forget about it. Months go by. Years, every once in a while you look up, oh yeah, that's that gift. You never open it. It's for you, and you know who it's from, but you never open it. I think that is something of what God has done for us, given us this gift of peace, but often of our own choosing, we refuse to open the gift. We refuse to accept it. How do you think the person who gave you that gift that you left unopened felt when you just ignored it? And how do you think God feels when God gives us this gift of peace and we ignore it, we refuse to accept it? I believe it probably breaks God's heart. And so, how is it we can better accept the gift of peace? First, I believe we have to understand that this is all God's plan. Understanding God's plan is the beginning of accepting more peace. So go back 101 from the beginning. There is a God. God is a creator who has created a wonderful, perfect gift of the world. God has created you. You are a child of God. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God, at one point, decided, nah, they're not quite getting it, so I need to make it a little clearer. So I'm sending Jesus. Jesus comes. He explains, he teaches, he exemplifies, he shows us what we are to do and how we are to live. And then this gift of peace, a part of God's plan, finds Jesus returning to heaven, proving once and for all that this is all of and from God. You get the plan? That's God's plan. No, we don't get the plan. Often we leave the gift unopened. We don't get the message that this is God's plan. It's a little bit like Shochi Yokoi. World War II ended in 1945. When it ended, Japan was our final adversary. They surrendered. The war was over. Peace was proclaimed. But Shochi didn't get the memo. He was a Japanese soldier on an island in the South Pacific. All the other soldiers had left, but he was hiding in a cave. And while he was hiding there, and since he didn't get the memo, he thought the war was still going on. And he stayed in that cave, fearfully wondering if at any day an enemy would come to try and kill him. He stayed there for days, for weeks, for months, for 28 years, living as if there's still a war going on, never having gotten the memo that peace had been declared. I think we sometimes are like him, having not fully gotten the message that peace is God's plan for you and for me, that peace has been declared. Thomas Merton put it this way. He said, "People are not at peace with each other because they're not at peace with themselves." Wow, think about that. Is there anybody in your life you're not at peace with? People are not at peace with each other because they're not at peace with themselves. Truth. So the first way to accept more and more of the peace that God has given us is to understand this is God's plan. God wants you to have this peace. He's done everything, including sending his own son to give you that gift. Secondly, we need to remove the roadblocks that we ourselves have put up that block that peace. So even if you understand God's plan, we all must confess that we participate in putting up roadblocks to receiving that peace. We are the ones who choose to be anxious. We are the ones who choose to be fearful, to worry, to be angry. You ever have a moment with someone probably in your family, and you say to them, "You make me so mad." You know what the truth is? No one can make you mad. No one can make you fearful. No one can make you anxious. No one can make you worry. You and I choose that response. Nobody makes you mad. Nobody makes you anxious. Nobody makes you worried. We choose that response because guess what? The same event can happen right in front of three people, and one gets mad, and one gets angry, and one is peaceful. We choose. We erect these roadblocks to peace ourselves, this anger, this resentment, this worry, this anxiety. We choose that. And if you can choose it, you can unchoose it and thus find more peace. Other roadblocks we put up? Our need to control. Many people are control freaks. They say of themselves, "I got to have everything in control." That's just a roadblock to peace because guess what? God's in control, not you. Another roadblock that we put up is the need to have more. Somehow security coming because if we get a little bit more, we'll feel better. A roadblock. Because there's never enough. It's like drinking salt water. There's never enough if you think that getting more of anything is going to bring you peace. Or the need to be right. How many times people find themselves anxious and worried and fearful because they always have to be right? There was another household where a boy was doing his homework. As he did his homework, his mom and dad were watching TV, and he came in with a paper and he said, "Mom, Dad, I'm studying World War I. How did World War I start?" Well, the father said right away, "Well, I studied that, son, and I can tell you right away. It began because of the economic collapse of Serbia." The wife jumped right in. No, that's not right. "It began because of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand." "Oh, no," said the husband. "It was all economic. It had to do with the economic collapse of the whole country. That was just kind of a sidelight thing." The mother said, No, it had to do with that assassination of the archbishop." They went back and forth and back and forth, ignoring their son after a little while, at which time he walked away and said, "Never mind, I think I know how World War I started." The need to be right is such a roadblock to a heart of peace because you know it doesn't matter. In most cases, whether you're right or not. So removing these roadblocks of anxiety and fear and worry and anger and resentment, those are roadblocks to peace. You have a choice. You can choose more peace by taking down those roadblocks. And then the final thing is just to do more of what God says. Now, there's an interesting idea. I mean, that's 101 preaching. The pastor said, do what God says. Amen. That's about it. More and more, just do what God says and you will find peace. So somebody offends you? What do you want to do? You want to get even. You hold a grudge. You want to get back at them. Jesus says, forgive. Someone doesn't treat you well, so you're going to treat them badly. An eye for an eye, right? That's how it works. No, says Jesus. Turn the other cheek. Over and over, all the things we talk about so often and the scriptures teach us have to do with just doing what Jesus says, and you will then find more peace. It is not that complicated. So understand God has a plan, wants you to be filled with this peace, this tranquility, wants you to live in peace. That we ourselves erect roadblocks and we can take them down. And that ultimately, simply doing what Jesus says, if you want peace, that is the path. Take a look, in closing, at this video, that it might give you some moments of peace and reflection as we conclude. Will you pray with me? Oh God of peace, we are so grateful that it is your plan for us to live in peace with ourselves and with one another. But Lord, we confess that often we just don't accept that gift, that out of fear or worry or anxiety or pride, we simply erect roadblocks to your peace and try to control our lives. So help us release, to let go of all that binds us and keeps us from your peace. Help us to accept it more and more, to live it more and more, to teach it more and more. All according to your plan. Amen.